Welcome to this special COVID-19 episode of the Caring Greatly podcast. As always, this podcast is focused on issues of leadership and humanity in healthcare. But during the COVID-19 crisis, we're focusing on the particular challenges raised by the novel coronavirus response. We've also shortened the format in recognition of the additional cognitive and emotional burden that leaders and care team members are experiencing. In today's episode, I'm speaking with Dr. Rhonda Collins, an experienced clinical nursing leader and chief nurse executive of Vocera Communications. Welcome, Dr. Collins, and thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Liz. It's great to be back.
So you've been having daily conversations with clinical leaders across the globe who are trying to manage the added challenge of effective coordinated clinical communication under some pretty unique conditions. What kinds of issues are you encountering?
I was on a call yesterday with three chief nurses from across the state of New York. One's stationed in Manhattan, one is in on the south end of Long Island, the other in upstate New York. And their challenges are quite unique. You know, they're at the epicenter, if you will, of this crisis. And, you know, there's everything from staffing to tools to supplies that they work on a daily basis. And I'm confident that our leaders across our healthcare systems know exactly what they need to do, but it's an everyday of getting up and sourcing. And by the time you finish a conversation with them, the environment has changed again. And they have to look at another way to resource or another way to staff. Some of the challenges, obviously, are having enough staff and reallocating staff, say, from the operating room, which elective surgeries are closed right now.
Right.
And reallocating OR nurses to work in ICUs, which, you know, when you think about the human toll of that, the stress of that, it's been more than 20 years since I was at the bedside. And I think about me going back and just the elevated level of the cognitive burden, the stress, the environment itself, over time, the toll that it will take on those clinicians. But we really have no choice. And I don't think you would find any nurse or physician who would say, I'm not helping out. We all want to do our part in whatever role that that is. But those are some of the most significant challenges, is ensuring that you can staff. And then the other challenge is having enough beds, obviously, which is why we're social distancing.
Right.
But they're having to stand up beds within the hospital in boardrooms. I heard a boardroom yesterday.
Wow.
I heard in conference rooms. They've made rooms that were prior, you know, single occupancy rooms, now two patients. So having to configure all the supplies and all of the needs just, you know, simply for patients to call a nurse.
Right.
Are really a challenge. And, you know, there was one piece of equipment that I honestly had not thought of as I was thinking through everything and listening to these conversations, but another piece of equipment that they're really struggling to source are feeding pumps. You know, I guess we've heard about the ventilators.
Right.
We've heard about how IV tubing is now, you know, 50 feet long, so the pump can sit outside the room. But I had not thought about the fact that most of these very, very ill patients are being tube fed. So they were, the nurse execs on the phone yesterday were talking about the fact that they, this has become an item that they are struggling to source. So it's very interesting as the patient population grows and changes. The nurse exec from Long Island said that most of the hospitals on the south end are 80% COVID patient population.
Wow.
80%.
Yeah. And you just,
isn't that amazing?
It is amazing. And you think about just the fear factor for the nurses who are serving on those floors. That's got to be incredible.
It's an incredible stress to think that every day I come to work, I risk exposing myself, which exposes my family and my community. Every day I come to work, the chance that I'm going to lose a patient is exponential compared to what it is in my normal daily life.
Yeah.
And I, to work under that level of anxiety, learning and learning mode all the time, and at the pace that they are working at, it is, in fact, exactly described as a war zone.
Yeah. Well, you and I have also had conversations about one of the additional stressors, which is not only the communication that happens within the care team, trying to, you know, when you're talking about donning and doffing PPE, trying to communicate with it on, working across, you know, barriers that are erected to prevent infection transmission. And then the added challenge of families needing to communicate with their loved ones who are patients. And doing that not only in these hospital environments, but in some of these, you know, stand-up triage centers that don't have the kind of standard communication infrastructure. What kinds of challenges are you seeing, and what kinds of creative solutions are leaders and frontline nurses coming up with?
You know, the primary issue is that is the isolation. It's the isolation for us at home. It's the isolation for the sick patient in the hospital. They're separated from their families. The care teams are trying to limit their interaction with the patients because they're having to preserve their tool of PPE.
Right.
So to be able to see everyone use mobile technology, for example, to increase that communication, to be able to call into the patient room. Many ICUs have glass doors or windows, and the care team, the physician and the nurses at shift change can stand outside the room but include the patient in the conversation, and then include the family as well. So we're seeing a lot of mobility from the bedside, certainly these pop-up beds, if you will, in the alternative places, to be able to have a very quick way to communicate that is directly with the caregiver rather than going to nurse stations or to workstations and that sort of thing, to put patients and the healthcare team directly in touch with each other. That's what I've really been focused on. Mm-hmm. Just to break down the walls and the barriers and ensure that everyone can talk to who they need to talk to when they need to talk to them.
Yeah. We've seen some really creative solutions using our company's technology, things like zip tying a Vocera badge to a bed so the patient can have a way to communicate with their nurse when there's no nurse call in the isolation room. What else are you seeing along that?
We're enabling communication with the Vocera wearable badge so that the patient can speak directly from the bedside. But what that does is open up the capabilities of all of the software. So those nurses who come from the OR to work in the ICU don't have to know the usual numbers. They don't have to know the usual doctors to call. They can just say, call respiratory therapist on call, and it will get the right person.
Yeah.
So in that way, we've lowered the anxiety and the burden of information on a need-to-have basis. We've also looked at how do we include the family in a conversation, because Vocera is a very modular application. We can do the wearable or we can do the app on the phone. But to allow physicians who are moving through systems and call in family members on phones and then receive information about the patient on their mobile device, all in the context of the patient and the treatments and the latest vital signs and all of those things, it has enabled everyone to be able to have the right now information. Nothing has brought into light more than this crisis the need that we have for urgent or right now information and communication. And I think that while we rely on our digital tools to assist us in our everyday life, certainly we have, we've made a hard right turn back to being a society and in fact, a company that just talks to each other. We don't rely on texting as much. It's like everybody needs to talk. And I think that that is definitely an outcome of where we are. We don't have time to wait. We have to have the verbal conversation. And I think it's between the healthcare teams, it's around business, and it's absolutely around the relationship between the care team and the patient and family.
Yeah, I hadn't even thought about that angle of the just given all of the heightened anxiety, given the cognitive burden that everyone is facing, that added loss of ambiguity and connection that happens when two people are talking as opposed to what could get misinterpreted in a text or those kinds of things. And just that feeling of being in it together, I think is probably so powerful.
Yes, agreed.
So I'm so grateful that you are helping leaders troubleshoot this and that we're able to provide those solutions. I do want to look ahead a little bit. I know we're still in the midst of this crisis, but even as you're looking now, are there any lessons learned already that you hope will shape the future of what we can look ahead to when this crisis has abated?
Yeah, when this dust settles, and it will, it always does, I think that we will be a different place. You know, after the advent of HIV, the first cases of HIV, and I was working at the bedside when we started learning about that new virus and the outcome and death rate associated with it was astronomical. And as we began to learn and study, it changed how we conducted ourselves in the hospital forever. Gloves worn with every single patient, how we manage bodily fluids, all of those things changed forever. Another event in our nation's history was 9/11, and it changed how we fly forever.
Right.
It will never go back. Well, this pandemic is going to change us in some remarkable way forever. I don't think that we know exactly how this is going to be, but I do know this. I do know that we have realized that some of our protocols and documentation and the characteristics of adding on and adding on and adding on are really not useful,
right?
In the big picture. So how do we pare all of that down to manage patients more directly and in a way that truly matters? How do we utilize beds? I think this is going to cause us to take a really hard look at enabling patients to stay home with families. Mm-hmm. And how do we deliver a higher level of care remotely? I think that we're going to, one of our overwhelming jobs is going to be caring for the staff. They're mm-hmm. going to be just like anyone else who has been through a life-changing event or crisis. These are people who never thought in their lifetime they would see this kind of illness that just was unpredictable, that took lives, that required every ounce of training they ever had, the fear of coming home,
yeah.
the fatigue associated with it, all of those things. And I think that we're going to have a job of understanding how do we support our staff? How do we ensure them that the tools they need will always be ready?
Yes.
How do we prepare for the next time? I mean, a lot of it is going to be preparation so this doesn't happen again, if you will, quote unquote. But we know it's going to happen again. We're going to have another pandemic. We're going to have another unknown virus. But it's how we prepare for that that's going to make the difference in the future. I think that hospitals are going to have to look at their financial solvency. I think that is going to guide many decisions on how they move forward. But I'll go back to the staff overwhelmingly. I think that we're going to learn so much from them because they're going to be very clear on what is essential and what is not essential.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be very clear on, I am mentally, physically, and emotionally exhausted, and this is where I need help, and this is where I need support. I think healthcare workers have always worked under, I'm here for the patient, and I'll do whatever I need to do, and I just, you know, I absorb all of that in the pursuit of my profession and yeah. in the pursuit of caring for my patient. But I think in many ways, emotionally and sometimes physically, this great team who has been literally our last line of defense through this entire crisis, I think that they are going to require a degree of understanding and support and action from us.
Yes.
That we've never seen before.
Yes. And I look forward to you and other amazing leaders being part of that response because it's absolutely critical.
Absolutely. And I think that already we're starting to focus on what's next. Where do we move from here? I think healthcare leaders and hospitals are doing everything they can do right now with what we know. We're doing everything we can and creating beds and sourcing supplies. And, you know, I know Vocera is, we're doing everything we can do to be nimble and quick and respond to our customers and provide them the tools that they need. But now is the time to start talking about when this dust settles and we look around, what do we do next?
Yes. And I look forward to those conversations. Rhonda, thank you so much for your time and your leadership.
Thank you. Thank you for this time, Liz.
We'll continue with special COVID-19 episodes of the Caring Greatly podcast for the foreseeable future. Thank you for listening. Please subscribe and rate us on Apple, Google, Stitcher, or Spotify, or you can find links to all of our episodes at vocera.com/podcast. This is Liz Bohm. Thank you for caring greatly.